Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good that you could be with us as all of a sudden now we have moved into here in mid-February into the Lenten season, a whole series of Sundays that's going to culminate in a few weeks, first in Palm Sunday and then in Easter. But the journey here in the Lenten season is always long, and it's grateful that that we go through as we walk with our Savior to the cross. So thank you for joining us. Our Lenten service series is going to continue here in the next few weeks over in the CLC. We're going through a series of Lenten journeys that is taking us to the cross, but on the way to the cross, it's taking us through some rather fascinating destinations. We had one this past week, and we've got several more that we're going to be going through. From now on, the schedule will be dinner at 6:30, worship then about 7:15, all over in the CLC for the remaining 5 weeks. We have got quite a selection of meals coming up. I mean, I know the Board of Properties is doing what they usually do this coming Wednesday. But 2 weeks from this coming Wednesday, we're just going to start planting the seed now. There's going to be a chili cook-off. We're going to need people to bring either salads or desserts. We'll have that broken down for you, probably starting next Sunday. But we're going to have some very specific instructions. We're going to have a supper out of it, but we're going to have a little fun with it. And it's just it was an idea that's been hatched for a couple of years now, and we're just going to see how it goes. But be thinking about that, whether you want to be one of the people that wants to help either make some of the chili that's going to be judged by the rest of us, or whether you're just content to be a judge of some really, really fine chili. So in the midst of some things, we've got the Lenten booklets for devotions, and we've still got some copies that the ushers can pass out to you if you still want some. We've tried to get rid of most of them here, and since the Lenten season has just started, you would have only have missed a few days if you need to get that to, if you'd like to share that with one of your friends, because information about the church is on those booklets. The Chasco Street Parade is coming up here in less than 3 weeks. This is the time of year I didn't even realize State Fair's going on. I'm still trying to get used to these Florida schedules, but the Chasco Street Parade is less than 3 weeks away. And what we're looking for right now are a bunch of beads. The group is collecting beads. If you know where to find some, they certainly would like to take some. You can talk to either Jerry Brock or myself. I'll make sure that they get the information to that then. I've got a couple things here regarding our Bible studies. Our Bible study on Daniel is going to continue this morning. Daniel chapter 3, three men in the fiery furnace. I don't know if we've ever, that's not something we usually look at from the pulpit, but it's something that if you haven't looked over something like this, I really have had a lot of fun preparing that and to get us to see what's really taking place both in their lives of faith and also in ours. But the Tuesday Bible class that's held in home for either Barb Goodhue or Phyllis Miller, is suspended until further notice. Part of that is that Lamar Miller and Bob Brown are hospitalized at Trinity. Barb Goodhue had been hospitalized for a second time. She is now at Orchard Ridge Rehab. And then this morning we're also praying for the family of Tammy Musgrave as her husband's going through some very difficult times. And also the family of a young man named Christian Robinson, who is hospitalized in critical but stable condition. So we'll remember those people in our prayers for this morning. Our order of service is a service of prayer and preaching for the season of Lent. The greeting of the peace is put a little further back into the service, and we do not begin with a hymn. So we're going to take just a moment of silence here, and then we will begin with the invocation and opening sentences. May the Lord bless us as we follow him to the cross. Please stand as you are able. We begin by calling to mind our Lord God who loves us, who sent his Son to give his life for us, and into whom we are baptized. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day which the Lord has made. From the rising of the sun to its setting, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. Inspire repentance for our sin. Jesus said, If any man would come after me, Christ was wounded for our transgressions. From the rising of the sun to its setting, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God our Father, beginning with the time for silent prayer. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we confess that we often take the blessings around us for granted and fail to thank you with the best of what you have graciously given us. We have not read your word diligently enough, nor do we always oppose temptations when they come. We have considered ourselves better than others. We have expected you to bless us in all things, rather than understanding that our lives involve taking up our crosses and following our Savior. For the sake of your Son and our Lord, forgive us, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, cleanse our hearts and minds that we might walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Christ Jesus, true man and true God, was obedient to his Father in all things and in our place. By his death, he destroyed death, and by his rising, opened eternal life to all who trust in him for forgiveness. Through his command, your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May he strengthen you in your Lenten journey. Amen. Redeemed, restored, ready to serve our Lord, let's greet one another in the peace of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church, that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The readings from Holy Scripture are appointed for the temptation of our Lord, the first Sunday in Lent. Our Old Testament lesson is found in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham prepares to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the island of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson is found in James chapter 1. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. The brother of our Lord writes, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is the gospel of our Lord. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. We confess our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, God's graciousness and his love has been shown to us at its greatest because he has provided for you a substitute, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And from our Old Testament lesson comes these words. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided." There are some weeks where I have to wonder, even as I was preparing my message, about the timing of things. We have seen a week here that perhaps as much as any since we've been alive shows just how darkened our world in sin has become. Across the state, 17 people are dead from a senseless school shooting. And even right around the corner from where we live, from where we worship, we have people shooting at cars. And the sad reality is that these are the kinds of things that a world of sin is going to show. Oh, there are those that might believe that in some way things are worse now than they have ever been, but the darkness of sin always finds something. The plague, war, things that have taken from our lives senselessly and way too early, hundreds upon thousands of people. And as we see these things happening and seemingly getting closer and closer to each of us, how are we supposed to feel? Are we supposed to just kind of curl up and let whatever's going to overtake us, overtake us? Are we supposed to get angry and find little tiny issues that we're convinced that maybe we can fix in this world? Or perhaps, are we finally starting to see what happens, not only in a world that has fallen by sin, but in a society that has lost its moral compass because hardly anybody pays attention to what God the Lord has done for them? One of the more famous survivors of the Holocaust, Elie Wiesel, once said this: "After the Holocaust, I did not lose faith in God. I lost faith in mankind." Well, to show what is happening to humanity versus what is happening to God, that's how you pass a test with flying colors. And speaking of tests, we are seeing it today. Not just in how we are being tested by the things that are taking place around us, but how Abraham was tested by God. And as Abraham was proving that God could trust him, God was showing himself to be the most trustworthy of all. That's not always easy to see. Even as I quoted from somebody who survived the Holocaust, as we well know, there are hundreds of thousands that did not survive it. That said, with all the other things that seem so just utterly senseless, as we see what the world is giving to us, we understand that death never brings along with it a pleasant invitation. From that shooting earlier this week, I'm sure a lot of you heard about this assistant football coach who, as soon as he heard something, the last words that several people heard that they knew he said was yelling at the top of his voice, "Those are not firecrackers," knowing what he was up against and racing into the scene anyway. And you can look and you can say, how senseless that such a good man has lost his life so early. But death never wants to pick a good time. It rarely ever has, nor does it choose a good method. There are those that might want to say, well, if you had a choice in how you would die, well, there really is no such thing. And in the midst of it, our faith, while we have life, Our faith is going to be tested. God is going to ask of you, how much do you believe in me? Really? How much do you trust me? Really? How much do you understand how much I love you and the good I have prepared for you? Really? That must have been something that was occupying the mind of Abraham as he, in the midst of one of seemingly the greatest miracles at the age of 100, both he and Sarah becoming parents of a young child named Isaac, and now God is asking for the child as a burnt offering. And by the way, let's not forget Isaac. You know, we read about all the stuff in here about Abraham, but the only thing Isaac seems to say is, well, Father, we have the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, well, God himself will provide a lamb. Remember that. God himself will provide a lamb. Well, the fact that the firewood was put on Isaac and they were able to journey 3 days up towards a mountain kind of indicates to you that we're not talking about somebody who's maybe 6 years old here. There's even people that believe that Isaac may have been 20 or 25 years old at this time. But and he must have at some point been figuring out what is going on here, at least what seems to be going on. We never hear him cry out. In fact, Scripture doesn't tell us anything at all what happens. But you know that in his mind, he must have been wondering, what is going on here? Well, one of the lessons we learn is that God, as he has received you as his children, and he has, and as people who have been received by our Lord Jesus Christ in the waters of holy baptism, God shapes us. God shapes us to be his own. The dictionary, amongst the many definitions of shaping, has this definition: setting oneself to perform a particular task. Now, Abraham was chosen by God to perform the special task of fathering a great nation through which the Savior of the world would be born, but the shaping had to take place through something else. It started with Abraham first being asked to leave his own country and go into a place that God will show you. Now back then, you can just... We would try to think of it in today's terms. You know, sometimes we have people that are asked with jobs to move hundreds of miles away. But in these days, all you got to do is just pull up the internet, find out all the statistics and whatever that you can about the city and the various areas of the city that you're moving to. Because, you know, most of the time you're not being asked to move to a third world country where there's no such thing as electricity, paved roads, or anything else like that. You're just moving from one place in our great country to another. But to be shaped can only be done under the most severe of circumstances. Let's put it this way. The first 2 weeks of U.S. Navy SEAL training are known as Hell Week, and sure enough, it would take the SEALs to have to go through 2 weeks of this awful training that they call Hell Week, singular. Each candidate sleeps no more than 4 hours a day during that time. He will run more than 200 miles. He will do physical training for more than 20 hours a day. And even when that's completed, the things that the SEALs are being trained for don't let up even by a little bit. Using methods that are both fair and unfair to season them and to prepare them. And why? Because they will be the ones that have to endure. They are the ones that are chosen for the task of fighting the enemy under extremely life-threatening combat situations, whether it is on the sea, on land, or in the air. And what we have to learn is that while God might be seeming unfair when we have to face our own hell week of tests, a hell week that seems to sometimes go on for an entire year or more. That is anything but the case. These tests, my friends, are part of the process which God uses to shape us into the person that God wants us to be. Now, make no mistake about one thing. God is only interested in the best for you. That's why when Isaac asked the question and Abraham made the statement, God himself will provide the lamb, oh yes, that's exactly what God did. Not just a ram whose horns were caught in a thicket someplace, but a Savior who was prepared by God, his very own son that he sacrificed because of a thousand things in this world that we want to just scream and yell out. I believe I've told many of you a story about how I had a confirmation student some years back who, about a year and a half after being confirmed, was killed in a car accident. And it was rough on that family. And one of the hardest things, even as a congregation, I ever remember a church having to go through. But then they got through that 5 years later as they made the best of a horrible situation. And in the midst of a number of things that both the father and the mother were doing, setting up benevolent trusts and foundations, all on behalf of bringing some good out of a senseless tragedy. One Sunday afternoon, after I had seen the father in worship yet again, and after he had just set up another special foundation on behalf of mission trips of the congregation, I got called to the hospital to find out that he had died of a heart attack. And ringing in my ears to this day is the single word of the other daughter, who just over and over and over again screamed out the words, "Not fair, not fair, not fair." Eventually, yes, she remained and was a person who stayed very, very close to her Lord and Savior. But I dare say that there have been times where all of us wanted to yell that out and scream it towards the heavens, saying, "Why must such things be done to put us to the test?" Well, we learn a couple of things. In my Bible study that I'm going to be doing with the three men in the fiery furnace, you might remember their words. God's able to save us. Oh, but even if he doesn't, we'll never give in to that. Friends, we don't know what God is going to do to us on any given situation. We are saved by faith, and that means that our ultimate prize is going to be not in this world, but in the world to come. We prepare ourselves for that. And in the meantime, we climb those difficult mountains, mountains that face as many obstacles as true mountain climbers face, those mountain climbers that have to face things like altitude sickness, temperature, weather, falls, avalanches, nasty crevices in the sides of the mountains, summit fever, whatever the case might be, we might have to suffer things even worse. And yes, sometimes our own sins are only going to make it worse. But Abraham shows what we can do. We stand on the word of God, we stand on faith, and we stand on Christ. Because he was the substitute that God provided for each one of us so that there would be no sacrifice to sin. Friends, the time will come. and many, many, many good, decent, and innocent people have been taken from this world in a tragic way, but we will all be taken from this world. And so we prepare ourselves. We prepare ourselves in faith. We prepare ourselves for the trials of life, for the things by which God is saying, yes, I'm trying to bring you closer to me, and for the things that whether we live or we die, we live to the Lord, and we prepare for him who was the substitute, who was the Lamb of God who took away your sins in this world. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's receive our offerings. If you've not yet filled out those faith fellowship cards in the racks in front of you, please do so, so we know that you were here today. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. For guests in worship this weekend, that Christ bless their lives in the hearing of the word with faith, in understanding and joy, let us pray to the Lord. For those who continue to bring the light of Christ into places of darkness, calling people to repentance and teaching Jesus Christ and his saving love, let us pray to the Lord. For the world around us, for the nations in conflict, for those who are victims of hate and violence, and for good and faithful leaders to guide the nations and the people in paths of justice, goodness, and peace, let us pray to the Lord. For all the sick, those who suffer, the grieving in their loss, and the dying in their last days, we lift up before you, Lord, this morning, Lamar Miller, Bob Brown, hospitalized at Trinity, Barb Goodhue, who has been hospitalized at Trinity this past week, on behalf of family of Tammy Musgrave, and on behalf of Christian Robinson, who is hospitalized. And now, those whom we name before the Lord, in our hearts, that they may know healing, comfort, and peace according to God's gracious will, let us pray to the Lord. For our own lives, that we may show forth Christ's light in faithful words of witness and show forth his love in faithful acts of love and mercy to our neighbor, let us pray to the Lord. For wisdom and discernment, that the fading glory of this world may neither tempt nor deceive us from the true glory of Christ crucified and risen, let us pray to the Lord. For our communion this day of Christ's body and blood, that we receive him with faith, and for our unity of faith and life together as a family of believers, let us pray to the Lord. Fully dependent on your faithfulness, generosity, and graciousness, we entrust all for whom we pray to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Our service concludes on the bottom of page 9 in our service folders with a closing collector up on the screen. Please stand as we close in prayer together. O Lord God, your Son was tempted in the wilderness and overcame. When we encounter trial and temptation, lead us to look to your perfect Son, that in him we would have forgiveness and hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Friends, go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you and give you peace. Amen. Friends, thanks for joining us today. Go in peace and serve the Lord.